Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to Part 7 in our 12-part series entitled Biblical Economics. God has plenty to say about how you should handle your money. Do you know how God feels about borrowing, lending, and saving money? As with all Christian living principles, the Bible is the foundation of truth and guides us to all the answers. By the time we finish this series of programs, you'll see that borrowing is bad, lending is loving, and saving is smart. So what is God's perspective on borrowing and lending money? Borrowing money is never presented in a positive light in the Bible. For some reason, being in debt sounds worse than borrowing money, but the terms are synonymous. If you are in debt, it's because you've borrowed money. Somehow people want to think that, though, if they say, well, I just need to borrow some money, that that's not as bad as saying, I am in debt. But again, the terms are synonymous. Now, lending money is presented in a positive light in the Bible as long as godly principles are followed. So borrowing money is never presented in a positive light in the Bible, whereas lending money is presented in a positive light in the Bible as long as godly principles are followed. With that in mind, let's launch into some of the scriptures. First, we're going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 6. This is in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 6. And this is God talking to the children of Israel. Just before entering the promised land, God spoke these words to Israel, saying, "For the Lord your God will bless you. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow." Now notice how the word blessing is tied to lending. I'm going to read this again. "For the Lord your God will bless you. You shall lend to nations, but you shall not borrow." Having the wealth to lend money to others is a blessing. Needing to borrow results from having the blessing removed, or from never having the blessing in the first place. Further proof of this is found in these ominous words, and this is in Deuteronomy chapter 28 now, in verses 15 and then verses 43 through 44. This is Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 and then verses 43 through 44. "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the Lord to observe all His commandments, all these curses will come upon you." And what is the curse? "The alien who is among you shall rise higher," that's one of them, "and you shall come down lower," that's another one. "He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him." Did you notice how rising higher is associated with being a lender, whereas coming down lower is associated with not being able to lend? And I'll read this again. "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the Lord to observe all His commandments, then all these curses will come upon you. The alien who is among you shall rise higher, and he shall lend to you. And you shall come down lower, and you shall not be able to lend to him." So being down lower means we're not in a position to lend. Being up higher means that we are in a position to lend. And coming down lower and not being able to lend is called a curse. And now let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7. This is Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7. A very blunt statement. "The borrower is servant to the lender." Now, which one would you want to be? Would you want to be the servant, or would you want to be the lender? This is obviously a negative term here when Solomon, with his God-given wisdom, concluded that the borrower is servant to the lender. And from the previous two scriptures, which is Deuteronomy chapter 28 and Proverbs chapter 22, we can deduce that needing to borrow equals being in a cursed position of servitude to your debtors. And millions of people are living testimonies to that truth. Imagine how a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets felt as she cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." Now think about that. Imagine that. Here's a woman, and she's saying that she's in debt. Her husband has died, and apparently either she was not working or didn't have enough money from the job that she had, and often, of course, especially in Old Testament times, women were not able to work and make a lot of money. They did depend on their husbands. So it's here, it says that her husband was dead, and the creditor was coming to take her two sons to be his slaves, to take away her sons, to be the boss over them, the master over them. They would be enslaved to him, and they would have to work to pay off the mother's debt. Now think about that. That is in a cursed position, to be the debtor, to be the one indebted to somebody else, to have a creditor come and actually break up your family, come in during the night like they do to repossess a car, but now they're taking away your two sons. It's bad enough that her husband died, but now the creditors were coming to take away her two sons. That's horrible. And that example is found in the second book of Kings, chapter 4 and verse 1. That's the second book of Kings, chapter 4 and verse 1. Now let's read the story, and this is a New Testament story, in Matthew chapter 18, in verses 23 through 34. This is the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 18, in verses 23 through 34. And we have to try empathizing with the servant who owed his master 10,000 talents. Now, I don't know how much money that was, but let's just say that that was $10,000 that this servant owed to his master. But he was not able to pay, and his master commanded that he be sold. Again, sold into slavery, or sold to somebody like a piece of meat. This is what the master wanted to happen so that he could get paid. This servant was indebted to him, and the master wanted to get paid. So he was going to sell this person into servitude, into slavery, so that he could get paid. And he said he's going to command not only this servant to be sold, but also his wife and children and everything else that he owned. He was willing to actually, again, possibly break up this family by selling the husband, selling the wife, selling the children, perhaps to different masters, breaking up the family, just so that he could get paid. And just imagine how painful, how emotionally gut-wrenching this has to be for this servant, facing this mountain of debt that he cannot pay, and having to say, "Well, I can't do anything. I'm the one that's indebted to the person. He has control over me. He can sell me. He can sell my wife. He can sell my children." Imagine how bad this man felt, being the one that was supposed to be the provider and protector for the family. But that's the kind of situations we can get into when we build up a mountain of debt. Now, fortunately, after begging his master for more time to come up with the money, he was granted a reprieve. But then that same servant went out and found one of his servants, who was someone obviously even on a lower totem pole than he was. So you could say that this guy was subcontracting some work out. And he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is probably $100 as compared to $10,000, so a very small amount. And he took this servant, his subcontractor, by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe me." And so his fellow servant fell down at his feet, begging for patience, just like This other servant had begged his master for patience, but in this case, this contractor wouldn't allow his subcontractor any time to pay him back. He would not, but he went and threw his subcontractor into prison till he should pay the debt. So this subcontractor went to prison, and he had to work while he was in prison and pay his contractor the debt. God didn't have a very high opinion of this contractor, and then the master of this contractor, when he found out what the contractor was doing to the subcontractor, the master was very angry at the contractor and then delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So he retracted his statement of saying, I'm going to give you time. He said, no, if you're going to treat your subcontractor that way, I'm going to treat you that way. And so both people who were indebted really suffered from some serious problems where they were both cast into prison. So being indebted to somebody, that is no fun. Being a lender, that's a blessing. Being indebted, that's a curse. And that's what God's perspective is on borrowing and lending. Of course, the question is, if you're in debt, then what do you do about it? Well, we're going to cover that in our 11th and 12th program. So hopefully you'll tune back in and you'll hear the answer to that.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.